We've been studying, of course, about Noah and the flood. Last week, we talked about the size of the ark. We know it was big. We have a hard time, I think, grasping how big it was and what a project it was for Noah to build. I mean, this was not an easy task. One of the things we mentioned is that they equate it to, now this is the smaller side. We talked about the cubic measurement from the elbow to the tip of the finger. 18 inches is the minimum. I mean, 18 to about 24 inches. It varied throughout time and cultures. So the smallest size that the ark would have been was 450 feet long in our measurement. And that's equal to about 560 boxcars of railroad cars. So it kind of gives us a little idea of how much capacity that the ark had. We talked about the fact that they were to take on the animals on the ark, those that were air breathing. Of course, if they lived in water or could adapt to water, they didn't have to worry about being on the ark. But we don't know exactly how many animals that was. Some have estimated somewhere between 2,000 to 35,000 animals. And so, a little bit of leeway there. Species is talking about all the different variations or breeds of animals in a particular group. In other words, Noah didn't have to take on every breed of a dog. He didn't have to take on every breed of a cow. Just a male, female cow, male, female dog. Because we know that the DNA that we have varies quite a bit. There's a lot of differences, even in people. And we know that only started off with two, Adam and Eve. And of course, that population narrowed down greatly from billions of people down to eight souls that were on that ark. And it began to replenish the earth once again. Kind is talking about the group itself, or the family, as I just mentioned. Dogs, cats, those type of things. Kind is how God created the animals. Now last week I had this passage up there, but I had Genesis chapter 6, verse 21. Three ladies came up to me after class and let me know that that wasn't right. And that's good. Paying attention. Actually, that was just a test. And you passed. Now I'm thinking about Noah being chapter 6. But yeah, this is going back to the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21 says, "So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, which was the with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind." So if you remember, I think it was in the second lesson, we talked about Darwin, Charles Darwin, and the finches. Remember, there were a lot of variables as far as finches, and so that to him was proof of evolution. The finches, some of them had beaks that were long and skinny, some were short and stout, and some were kind of hooked, and some were very wide, maybe a little bit different colors. But guess what? Still all finches. So that's the kind. There's variations within that kind. And that's what we're talking about here. When God made kinds, he made it so that there could be variables. So they could change if they needed to, if their environment changed, or if they're bred that way. You know, we've got farmers that breed cows and pigs and everything else to get a certain trait that they want. Still doesn't mean that they've changed into something different as far as a family or a kind. They're still in that kind. They're just little variations. And so when Noah took animals onto the ark, he just had to take the male and female of that kind. In Genesis 1:25, "And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind." We gave the example of dogs is the kind. The species is the Boxer, Poodle, German Shepherd, Beagle, Great Dane, Chihuahua, whatever you want to come up with. So in other words, Noah didn't have to take on two beagles, take on two poodles, take on two German shepherds, right down the line. He just had to take a male, female dog. What's funny?
Well, we've been dog hunting. You can't find just a straight dog anymore. It's either like a Labradoodle, or a Shoei.
Yeah.
Just
a dog. Yeah. Some kind of special breed. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
So you see, there's lots of variations. But when it comes down to it, they're all what? Dogs. So that's all Noah had to worry about. Kind. Not all the variations. Kind. And there you go. There's just a small portion of the different kinds that's made up of dog or species, but they're all dogs. So again, it goes back to Noah just had to take one male, one female that represented the dog family, dog kind, and put them on the ark. Horses. How many people have seen Shetland ponies? How many have seen the Clydesdales? There's a big difference between those two. But guess what? They're still a horse. Here's cattle. And that's not all of them. Lots of different types, breeds, but they're still cattle. So when it comes down to Noah putting animals on the ark, you know, sometimes we get in this mind that every little variation of animals that are out there, they had to be on the ark. No, they didn't. The representatives of that kind, that family, that group. Here's a few people. A lot of different shapes, sizes. But yet all started off with what? Two people, Adam and Eve. But all those variables were in there, in the genetic pool, the DNA. You know, you've heard of the pygmy tribes in Africa. There are some of them. Little bitty people. But guess what? They're still people. So you can see that there's a lot of variations. There's a lot of variety. That's the way God made it. So we all wouldn't be just the same. Everything wouldn't just be the same. So when it comes again, the animals, we don't know exactly how many animals God had put on the ark. But we do know that we can narrow it down from what generally people think of, because they think that all of those animals, all those different kinds of cows that we showed a while ago, would have to be on the ark. No, they wouldn't. You just need a bull and a cow. And over time, you can breed out different variations. God told Noah to bring into the ark the different kinds of animals, not species or breeds of animals. Therefore, Noah just brought into the ark one male dog, one female dog, not a male and a female of every variation or breed of dog. So that would limit it quite a bit. This is the same for all the different kinds of animals, like cats, cattle, horses, birds, whatever you can think of. All those variations did not have to be on the ark. Just a representative of that kind. The genetic variations are in the DNA of each animal, and the mixing of the existing information brings about the different breeds or variations. And as we just talked about, you got people that have bred dogs to, and now they're mixing those breeds up and getting all kinds of weird names out there. But what about the large animals like elephants, hippopotamuses, buffaloes, giraffes, dinosaurs? What about dinosaurs? Were they on the ark?
Must have been.
We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about dinosaurs tonight. We will talk about that later. We've got some more in this lesson that we'll talk about later, and then we've got another lesson, number 10, titled, What About the Dinosaurs? So we'll talk about those a little bit more. But I want you to think for a moment. When we think of the animals going on the ark, when we see pictures of the animals going on the ark, what do we see? Full-grown animals. Let me ask you, would they have had to have been full-grown animals? No. They could have been babies. Could they have been babies? Yes. In fact, all the animals, in order to save space, food, could have easily been babies when they went into the ark. There's lots of things that God doesn't tell us. He doesn't give us the details. So we just have to use our imagination a little bit. None of this is contradicting what happened, but it's just possibilities. You know, if you had a big elephant that weighed a few tons, or a big tall giraffe, wouldn't it have been more feasible to bring on the little guys instead of one that's already huge? I think so. I can't say for sure that's what happened, but it's a possibility. That would allow for less space to be used up for the animals. Assuming the average animal to be about the size of a sheep, and using a railroad car for comparison, the average double-deck railroad car can accommodate 240 sheep. We noted earlier that the space in the ark was equal to about 560 railroad cars. And this is using the smallest scale of the ark, 18 inches for a cubit. If each railroad car can hold 240 sheep-sized animals, that means the ark could hold about 134,400 animals. We'd earlier noted that probably on the high side, people have estimated there were probably, what, 35,000 animals, if you're looking at just kinds of animals. So 35,000, 40,000, 50,000 animals would really be no problem. Because again, we're looking at the average size. You know, you've got animals from mice to elephants. And most of them are on the smaller side. And again, if the bigger ones were even smaller because they were babies, that even took up less space. So average, 240 sheep. Sized animals per car comes out to 135,000 animals. The ark was more than big enough to hold between 2,000 to 35,000 animals, 8 people, and food and water for everyone for a year. And again, we have a hard time comprehending the size of the ark. It was huge. 3 decks, 3 levels. How were Noah and his family able to feed, water, and clean after that many animals for over a year? Would you want to be in charge of all that? Let's just say you had 35,000 animals. 8 people taking care of 35,000 animals. How many have pets? It's a chore sometimes, isn't it? Just to feed and water maybe one dog, a couple of cats, or whatever pet you have. But can you imagine doing this for a few thousand animals for over a year? That was a job. It is possible that God caused the animals to go into a type of dormancy or hibernation. Again, another detail God doesn't tell us, but it's a possibility. We talk about bears going into hibernation. Other animals go into hibernation this time of year. If it's cold, they're not out running around. So it's possible, and I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm just saying it is possible that God could have had them just mellow out for about a year. Oh, yeah.
They sense stuff like that. They go into hiding. They find a place to go. And they chill out until it's over. So it's pretty realistic that they're
working on that. Right. Again, like I said, this is not something we can say. This is definitely what happened. We don't know. But it's a possibility. Just like it's a possible that he put on the baby animals as opposed to the grown-up animals. I just kind of picture in my mind, you know, those 40 days and 40 nights when it was storming, when it was raining. How many have been on a cruise ship or any kind of big ship when it's being tossed around quite a bit? Several of us. I would say that was probably nothing compared to what that ark was going through. And so can you imagine trying to feed and take care of all those animals during that period of time? That'd be kind of rough. I just have a feeling that God kind of took care of some details. That they weren't out there having to feed and do everything each and every day like we would have to do on a regular basis. Whatever God did, I don't know. But we do know that they survived. They lived. We got proof, the all animals we have now. And the people, we're here. So they survived. But these are just thoughts, just ideas, suggestions, things that could have happened. Somebody have their hand up, yeah. Pete?
Well, that makes sense. Tigers, lions, and all these ferocious animals, when they're when in their jeopardy, so what you're saying is that he neutralized, I like you, I think that God neutralized them to be tame and to obey,
right.
Actually follow. No, right. he had some help.
Yeah, some animals are kind of natural enemies, aren't they? So if you got them all there, of course, I guess you could put one on the upper deck on this end of the ship and the other one on the lower end of the deck on that end of the ship and kind of keep them separated. But I really don't think Noah had to worry about that stuff. I think God took care of that. But going back to just the idea, if you had 35,000 animals on that ship and you had 8 people, that means that each person was responsible for 4,375 animals. If they were having to feed and water and do all that kind of stuff each and every day. Almost 4,500 animals apiece. Whew. And you think taking care of a dog or two is a job. I would want all the small animals. Somebody can have all those big ones to clean up after. Okay, this would cause your bodily functions to slow down, talking about the hibernation or going into a dormancy, and it would require less food, less care, have to be given to the animals. So again, it's just a possibility. We don't know for sure. This is just speculation because God does not give us details. Okay, let's talk about a window for a while. How many windows were in the ark? One. Next question. How big was it?
Big enough to send a raven out of it.
Anybody know? I always grew up thinking that the window was 1 cubit square. Which, if it was 1 cubit square, is 18 inches. For a ship, 450 feet long, 50 feet wide, 30 feet tall. Is that the way it was? A lot of puzzled looks out there.
I don't remember it ever saying. Does it say? Must have.
Okay, how big was the window? This is what it says. And God told Noah, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubit from above. Above what? Critics say that one window, a cubit in size, would not provide enough air, ventilation, and light for the ship the size of the ark. And it wouldn't. If you had this place full, this room full of people, and you had one window, and that's all your light, that's all of your ventilation, how long would we survive? Not very long. It didn't have air conditioning. You know, we just crank on the air and think where everything's good. Didn't have air conditioning. They had a lot of heat, though. All those bodies producing heat. So would you get rid of all that heat out of a window that size? Probably not. So let's look at that a little bit closer. With a ship having a capacity of about 1,500,000 cubic feet, occupied by thousands of animals, how could they breathe with only one window that's 1 cubit in size? Unless God miraculously ventilated the ark, one little window in a 3-story ship, the length of about a football field and a half long, simply would not do. The Hebrew word, tushar, I may not be pronouncing that right, but that's what I'm going with, that is translated as window in Genesis 6:16, is only used once in the whole Bible, and scholars are unaware of its exact meaning. Translators of the King James Version, the New King James, have used the word window to translate that word to shar. Hebrew scholar William DeCensis defined tushar in his Hebrew lexicon as simply light, and translated Genesis 6:16 as thou shalt make light for the ark. He then surmised that this light represented not a window, but windows, plural. Again, this is a word when God told Noah to make what we often refer to as a window, is a word that nobody really knows and understands what that word is. But somehow you've got to get light into the ark. Somehow you've got to get air into the ark. Somehow you've got to get ventilation into that ark.
God made it so.
Do what?
God made it.
God made it.
You
know, that's one thing, like I said, the story of Noah is just amazing. But just like creation, God doesn't give us a lot of details. We know it happened. He know he provided. They all survived. We just don't know exactly how. The American Standard Version translators also preferred light as the best translation for tushar. Still more recent translations, including the Revised Standard Version, New International Version, and English Standard Version have translated Genesis 16 as make a roof for the ark instead of make a window or light. I bring all this up just to let you know that even scholars have no idea exactly what that command was, what it really meant, what it included. The word translated window just two chapters later in Genesis 8:6, which Noah said to have opened when he let out the raven and the dove, is translated from a different Hebrew word, shalom, than what was used in Genesis 6:16. So there God used two different words. We know that the window, what we think of as a window, was used in 8:6. He opened up something. And as Don said, it had to be big enough to let a bird out. But the other one that he used earlier, he used a completely different word, and we're not quite sure what that entailed. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made. So there we get the idea when it says the window. We think of one window, one opening. But it's possible that that one window was just one of many. Eric Lyons, in his book, Alleged Discrepancies of the Bible, said this. Shalom, which is used in Genesis 8:6, is the standard Hebrew word for window. It's used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, also in Joshua 2:18. Yet this is not the word that God used in Genesis 6:16. One wonders if in Genesis 8:6, Noah opened one of the plurality of aligned windows that God instructed him to make in Genesis 6:16. Possibility. Let's read Genesis 6:16 again. You shall make a window, or you could say, you shall make light. You shall make an opening for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. So is it possible that there was a roof over the ark, and 18 inches from that roof, there was an opening? And that opening could have been all the way around the ark with little shutters closing all the way around. So when... Do what?
It also could have looked like an
iron
bar.
Oh, well, it could have, but God told him to pitch it within and without with pitch.
Yeah.
And I really think that meant seal that thing up, because if it's raining for 40 days and 40 nights, what's the worst thing that can happen to a boat? Get water in it. You've already got how many tons of animals on that ark? You don't need more water. They already had water to drink. They had food. I think it was probably loaded to where it needed to be. And I think it was probably sealed up pretty good. But I do think, this is just Bob Gard speaking, God said that Noah did all according to what God commanded. Do you think if somewhere along the line Noah had left a little gap down there at the bottom of the ark, and maybe God would have taken care of that? I think so.
Bob, it says a window. So A, is that not one?
Mm-hmm. A is one. But what we're saying is that in 6:16, it's the word tishar that we really don't know what it means. Now, 8:16, where he says shalom, that is an opening. That is a window. That's like going to open up a window. But the other one is saying, they translate it, some of them did, as window, but it could have been just opening. Make an opening a cubic from above. From above, from the top of the ark, an opening. Well, that opening could have been all the way around. Again, so the scholars, again, that word is never used anywhere other than there. Noah knew what it meant because he did it. We don't know what it meant because the word isn't used anywhere else that we can equate it to. But let's look. God said, you shall make a window. Then he said, finish it to a cubic from above. Is God telling Noah to put a window that is one cubic in size in the ark? Or is he telling Noah to make an opening a cubic from the top of the ark, which opened all the way around the ark?
I agree with you. The bottom of the story of the ship, the one that has to be important, it is the floating part of the ship, the bottom part. Well, we know for sure that he made it tall enough, the keel and the height of the bottom of the boat, that it was going to float. I have the feeling that this was a gentle rain. There wasn't a lot of wind, there wasn't a lot of storm that had mixed up before they had that kind of force. It was a gentle rain that the ark lifted gently. That's my thinking, that you didn't have to worry too much about the middle story and above, except that you said it did caulk it, that it wouldn't leak. But I get the feeling that they could let it down as well. It was a opening somewhere there that they could let down or close. I don't know. That's my idea.
I saw a video where they built a replica of the ark and they put it in this tunnel, test tunnel, with the waves and the wind subjected to the harshest waves and winds you could possibly think of. They could do nothing to that to get that to capsize.
Yeah.
Nothing.
We talked about the ratio. You know, God made Noah, it wasn't made for speed. It was made to carry a load, to be as stable as possible. And just me thinking, we're talking about putting the animals on the ark, where would you put the heaviest animals? At the bottom. And then the lighter ones at the top. That would make it more stable also. Anybody else have their hand up? Yes.
If you didn't call the cattle, I made a mistake one time of opening a tack door on a stock trailer and lost a 400-pound steer out that position. He was so shook up with the cattle. So you don't know, is this God keeping the animals calm in the darkness?
All right. Yeah, that's the thing, again, we don't know about how God dealt with this or what he did. We're going to talk about the rain here in a little bit, but when you talk about the rain, Pete said he thought it was a gentle rain. When God let loose the rain from above, and he opened up the rain or the waters from the depths, would that have been gentle?
They would have had to meet somewhere.
They would have had to meet someplace. These, to me, this is an angry God punishing sinful people. Remember when Moses went up on the mountain and it was lightning and storming and earthquakes and the people were just terrified? Well, God was in a good mood that day. Can you imagine what it'd have been like when he's punishing all these people? Me personally, I don't think it was a gentle rain. This was a storm that you wouldn't have wanted to have been out in at all. Yes?
Bob, in Genesis 7:18, and the waters prevailed. And that's forceful.
That's forceful. Another thing, talking about, how tall was the ark? 30 cubits. 30 cubits. We're going to read this later, but how far over the top of the mountains was the water? 15 cubits. They, experts estimate that the draft of that ark was probably about 15 cubits. In other words, it sat in the water 15 cubits. So half of that ark was underwater, and half of it was above water. So it was able to float over the mountains with 15 cubits without running into a mountain and having a catastrophe. Of course, the water then receded, but the water receded slowly. So it finally settled on a mountain, mountains of Ararat. Yeah, we're talking about the animals in the ark. If this was a storm, if it was a lightning, that, you know, our dogs run for cover, you know, when it lightnings. Kids run for cover. Sometimes adults run for cover. Can you imagine what this would have been like? I really believe that, you know, God, of course, had a hand in all of this, and I think he kept those animals calm. You know, that, normal circumstances, they probably would have gone wild. 40 days and 40 nights of this. This wasn't something that just a little storm passed over and it's gone. 40 days, 40 nights of probably sheer terror. But I think God inside that ark, to me, was probably just very calm. It may have been bouncing around some, but I think overall it was calm. Again, that's me speaking. God doesn't say that. Come out and say everything was just like this. But it's a possibility.
Bob, that flood changed everything on the earth.
Yep.
When I was doing the Dinosaur National Monument, those dinosaurs were driven to places and they stood. Some of them are standing that you can see excavated today. They're standing right where they died.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when those dinosaurs got off the ark, they came back into a world that they had never seen.
Yep.
Couldn't even sustain them.
Uh-oh.
Especially in the Middle East.
Yep.
Couldn't anything to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll look at that a little bit more. As Troy said, the world was completely different. The world before the flood was one world. The world after the flood was completely different. If you want to talk about 180 degrees different, that was probably the difference between the two. Okay, we're going to end here. Next week is our singing, so it'll be 2 weeks when we meet. And we'll talk a little bit more about this window of the ark. Let's go to Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together and assemble and sing praises to you and study your word. We know that you're almighty, you're all powerful. We know that the things that we're studying as far as Noah and the ark are true. We know that you took care of them. Of course, we don't always know the details, but we know that overall that they were on the ark survived. And that everything that we have today is a result of that. We pray that you be with us as a country and as a nation, that we will see the evil that's there and try to overcome it. But may we always preach your word, send a light into the world so people can know you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.